He led Harry, Ron, and Hermione through the crowd and back into the campsite. All was quiet now. There was no sign of the masked wizards, though several ruined tents were still smoking. Charlie's head was poking out of the boys' tent.
"Dad, what's going on?" he called through the dark. "Fred, George, and Ginny got back okay, but the others—"
"I've got them here," said Mr. Weasley, bending down and entering the tent. Harry, Ron, and Hermione entered after him. Bill was sitting at the small kitchen table, holding a bedsheet to his arm, which was bleeding profusely. Charlie had a large rip in his shirt, and Percy was sporting a bloody nose. Fred, George, and Ginny looked unhurt, though shaken.
"Did you get them, Dad?" said Bill, sharply. "The person who conjured the mark?"
"No," said Mr. Weasley. "We found Barty Crouch's elf holding Harry's wand, but we're none the wiser about who actually conjured the mark."
"What?" said Bill, Charlie, and Percy together.
"Harry's wand?" said Fred.
"Mr. Crouch's elf?"
said Percy, sounding thunderstruck. With some assistance from Harry, Ron, and Hermione, Mr. Weasley explained what had happened in the woods. When they had finished their story, Percy swelled indignantly.
"Well, Mr. Crouch is quite right to get rid of an elf like that," he said, "running away when he'd expressly told her not to, embarrassing him in front of the whole ministry. How would that have looked if she'd been had up in front of the Department for the Regulation and Control?"
"She didn't do anything. She was just in the wrong place at the wrong time,"
Hermione snapped at Percy, who looked very taken aback. Hermione had always got on fairly well with Percy, better, indeed, than any of the others.
"Hermione, a wizard in Mr. Crouch's position can't afford a house-elf who's going to run amok with a wand,"
said Percy pompously, recovering himself.
"She didn't run amok!" shouted Hermione. "She just picked it up off the ground!"
"Look, can someone just explain what that skull thing was?"
said Ron impatiently.
"It wasn't hurting anyone. Why is it such a big deal?"
"I told you it's you-know-who's symbol, Ron," said Hermione, before anyone else could answer. "I read about it in The Rise and Fall of the Dark Arts."
"And it hasn't been seen for 13 years," said Mr. Weasley quietly.
"Of course people panicked. It was almost like seeing you-know-who back again."
"I don't get it," said Ron, frowning. "I mean, it's still only a shape in the sky."
"Ron, you-know-who and his followers sent the dark mark into the air whenever they killed," said Mr. Weasley. "The terror it inspired. You have no idea. You're too young. Just picture coming home and finding the dark mark hovering over your house and knowing what you're about to find inside." Mr. Weasley winced. "Everyone's worst fear, the very worst."
There was silence for a moment. Then Bill, removing the sheet from his arm to check on his cut, said,
"Well, it didn't help us tonight, whoever conjured it. It scared the Death Eaters away the moment they saw it. They all disapparated before we'd got near enough to unmask any of them. We caught the Robertses before they hit the ground, though. They're having their memories modified right now."
"Death Eaters?" said Harry. "What are Death Eaters?"
"It's what you-know-who supporters called themselves," said Bill. "I think we saw what's left of them tonight, the ones who managed to keep themselves out of Azkaban, anyway."
"We can't prove it was them, Bill," said Mr. Weasley.
"Though it probably was," he added hopelessly.
"Yeah, I bet it was," said Ron suddenly. "Dad, we met Draco Malfoy in the woods, and he as good as told us his dad was one of those nutters in masks, and we all know the Malfoys were right in with you-know-who."
"But what were Voldemort's supporters?"
Harry began. Everyone flinched. Like most of the wizarding world, the Weasleys always avoided saying Voldemort's name.
"Sorry," said Harry quickly. "What were you-know-who's supporters up to? Levitating muggles? I mean, what was the point?"
"The point," said Mr. Weasley with a hollow laugh.
"Harry, that's their idea of fun. Half the muggle killings back when you-know-who was in power were done for fun. I suppose they had a few drinks tonight and couldn't resist reminding us all that lots of them are still at large. A nice little reunion for them,"
he finished disgustedly.
"But if they were the Death Eaters, why did they disapparate when they saw the dark mark?" said Ron. "They'd have been pleased to see it, wouldn't they?"
"Use your brains, Ron," said Bill.
If they really were Death Eaters, they worked really hard to keep out of Azkaban when you-know-who lost power and told all sorts of lies about him, forcing them to kill and torture people. I bet they'd be even more frightened than the rest of us to see him come back. They denied they'd ever been involved with him when he lost his powers and went back to their daily lives. I don't reckon he'd be over-pleased with them, do you?
So, whoever conjured the Dark Mark, said Hermione, slowly, were they doing it to show support for the Death Eaters, or to scare them away?
Your guess is as good as ours, Hermione, said Mr. Weasley. But I'll tell you this. It was only the Death Eaters who ever knew how to conjure it. I'd be very surprised if the person who did it hadn't been a Death Eater once, even if they're not now. Listen, it's very late, and if your mother hears what's happened, she'll be worried sick. We'll get a few more hours' sleep, and then try and get an early portkey out of here.
Harry got back into his bunk with his head buzzing. He knew he ought to feel exhausted. It was nearly 3 in the morning, but he felt wide awake and worried. 3 days ago, it felt like much longer, but it had only been 3 days, he had awoken with his scar burning. And tonight, for the first time in 13 years, Lord Voldemort's mark had appeared in the sky. What did these things mean? He thought of the letter he had written to Sirius before leaving Privet Drive. Would Sirius have got it yet? When would he reply? Harry lay looking up at the canvas, but no flying fantasies came to him now to ease him to sleep. And it was a long time after Charlie's snores filled the tent that Harry finally dozed off.